Good evening, everyone. This is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, which is provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey. In all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized. All stations will be working the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at SCARS, SCARSVOIP.com. I am your net control for this session. My call is KE5ALF. My name is Greg, and I am located in Grand Blanc, Michigan, where we currently have a temperature of 86 degrees, and what appears to be a fog is actually smoke from our neighbors to the north in Canada for all the wildfires. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if there is any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please check in. All right. That's always a good thing. Is there anybody celebrating their birthday or any other special occasion this week? This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Now also let me advise you that all stations connected that this net might be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. All stations participating will be a part of that recording. All right, at this time I'm going to take it over to the person who prepared this tonight's program, GW8FCL. Dave, are you there? It's all yours, sir.
KE5ALF from GW8SZL. I most certainly am there, Greg, and thank you very much for doing the preamble. Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VOIP Network's Thursday Information Net. The purpose of the Thursday Information Net is to provide an opportunity for everybody to learn about a wide variety of topics related to amateur radio, communications technology, emergency preparedness, and many other subjects of general interest. Tonight's presentation is entitled The Art of Troubleshooting, Thinking Like a Radio Amateur. Tonight, we're going to explore one of the most valuable skills any radio amateur can develop. It's a skill that helps us solve problems in the shack, improves our operating, and, perhaps surprisingly, often proves useful in everyday life as well. Every radio amateur knows the feeling. You switch on the radio, settle into your chair with a mug of tea or coffee, press the power button, and something isn't quite right. Perhaps the receiver sounds unusually quiet. Perhaps the SWR has suddenly changed. Perhaps the battery you were certain was fully charged has somehow gone flat. At the moment, we all face the same choice. Do we panic, or do we stop and start thinking? Tonight's Thursday Information Net isn't really about repairing radios. It's about something much more valuable, the art of troubleshooting and how learning to think like a radio amateur can help us solve problems, both in the shack and beyond. As always, there will be opportunities for questions and comments at designated points throughout the presentation, and we encourage everyone listening this evening to join in with the discussion. And now, without further delay, let's begin tonight's SCARS VOIP Thursday Information Net. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the program as we hand over to our first narrator. And our first narrator this evening is Declan, 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, who is with me here in Newport, South Wales in the United Kingdom. Declan, 2W0 KYH from GW8SZL. The microphone is yours. Please go ahead, sir.
The Mindset of a Troubleshooter. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this month's SCARS VOIP Thursday Information Net. Tonight, I'd like to begin by asking you a simple question. Have you ever switched on your radio? fully expecting an enjoyable evening on the air, only to discover that something just wasn't quite right. Perhaps the receiver seemed unusually quiet. Perhaps your SWR had suddenly increased for no obvious reason. Perhaps nobody could hear you, or perhaps everything appeared to be working perfectly, except that it wasn't. If you've been involved in amateur radio for any length of time, I suspect you're smiling already, because we've all experienced moments like these. Sometimes the cause turns out to be something simple, a loose coax connector, a discharged battery, the wrong antenna selected, or perhaps the microphone wasn't fully plugged in. Other times, the answer proves much harder to find. It is at moments like these that every radio amateur is faced with a choice. Do we randomly change settings in the hope that something will magically fix itself? Do we become frustrated, or do we stop and think and begin the process of troubleshooting? Tonight's Thursday Information Net is not really about repairing radios. It is about something much more important. It is about developing a way of thinking. Because in many respects, the greatest tool in any amateur radio station is not the oscilloscope, the antenna analyzer, the multimeter, or even the radio itself. It is the mind of the operator. I would like to share a quotation that many of you may recognize. It comes from the fictional detective Sherlock Holmes. He once observed, "It is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data." Now, Sherlock Holmes may have never held an amateur radio license, but I suspect he would have made an excellent operator. Why? Because successful detectives and successful radio amateurs approach problems in remarkably simple, similar ways. Neither jumps to conclusions. Neither relies on guesswork. Instead, they gather evidence. They observe carefully, and they ask questions. They eliminate possibilities, one by one, until only the truth remains. When you think about it, that is exactly what good troubleshooting is all about. One of the wonderful things about amateur radio is that no two stations are exactly alike. Every one of us has built our own little communication system. Different radios, different antennas, different power supplies, different computers, different operating habits, and different environments. That uniqueness is one of the great joys of our hobby, but it also means that every station has its own personality, and every station occasionally develops its own little mysteries. Perhaps your HF station suddenly develops a high noise level. Perhaps the VHF repeater you've used for years now seems difficult to access. Perhaps digital modes stop decoding properly, and perhaps your portable station works perfectly at home, but behaves strangely on a hilltop. Every one of these situations is really asking us the same question. Can you solve the puzzle? I think this is one of the reasons amateur radio remains endlessly fascinating. If every contact worked perfectly, if every antenna performed exactly as predicted, if propagation never changed, if equipment never failed, there would be very little to discover. Instead, amateur radio constantly presents us with small challenges. Sometimes they're irritating. Sometimes they're amusing. Occasionally, they are downright baffling. But every one of them teaches us something. I remember hearing an experienced engineer once say that equipment rarely fails without first trying to tell you something. Perhaps a fan becomes noisier. A relay begins clicking irregularly. Audio quality slowly changes. An antenna starts behaving slightly differently. Voltage readings drift. Connections become intermittent. The clues are often there. The real question is whether we are paying attention. Good operators learn to notice these small changes long before they become major problems. Observation is one of the most underrated skills in amateur radio. Now here's something I'd like you to think about. When newcomers first enter our hobby, they often believe that experienced operators know all the answers. Those of us who have been licensed for many years know the truth. We don't know all the answers. We've simply learned how to ask better questions. That is a very important distinction. Rather than asking, "Why doesn't my radio work?" an experienced operator might ask, "Has anything changed since it last worked? Is the problem on transmit, receive, or both? Could this be propagation? Is the fault consistent, or is it intermittent? Can I reproduce it?" Notice how those questions immediately begin narrowing the possibilities. That's not luck. That's method. There's another lesson amateur radio teaches us, is patience. We live in a world that expects instant answers. Search engines, artificial intelligence, online videos. Everything is designed to provide immediate solutions. But troubleshooting rarely works that way. Sometimes solving a fault takes minutes, or sometimes it can take hours. Occasionally it takes days, and every now and then the answer arrives while you're making a cup of coffee and you're not even thinking about the problem. I suspect many of you have experienced exactly that. Perhaps that's because the human brain is itself an extraordinary troubleshooting tool. Even when we're not consciously thinking about a problem, our minds continue processing information in the background. We've all had those moments where a solution suddenly appears from almost nowhere. Of course, I forgot to check the power supply. I've been using the wrong antenna socket. The problem only happens when that cable moves. The answer was always there. We simply hadn't recognized it yet. As we explore tonight's subject, I'd like to suggest that troubleshooting is about far more than repairing equipment. It's about developing habits, learning to observe, learning to question, learning not to assume, learning to think logically. These habits don't just make us better radio amateurs. They make us better problem solvers in almost every part of life. And perhaps that's one of the greatest gifts our hobby has to offer. So before we move on to the next part of tonight's presentation, I would like to leave you with a question. Think back over your ears at amateur radio. What was the most memorable fault you've ever had to solve? Was the answer something highly technical, or did it turn out to be something wonderfully simple that still makes you smile today? I'm sure many of us have one or two stories to tell. At this point, we'll pause for comments, questions, and perhaps a few of those memorable troubleshooting tales before we continue with the next section of tonight's Thursday Information Net.
K2AK.
Okay. I recognize K2HA. That is Fred in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Declan. This is Fred, K2HA. And peace and blessings to you and to everybody that's listening on the net. You're doing a fine job with the narration. I appreciate that. And, you know, sometimes the lightning arrester goes. And you're trying to figure out why your signal is not getting out. It took a while to check that all out and to trace it down and find out that the it had to be replaced. So that's one of the things with antennas is you have to have, well, you don't have to, but best procedure is to have a lightning arrester in line to prevent, static dischargers, et cetera, and possibly even shunt a lightning hit to ground. Mine went bad. Took me a long time to find it. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, okay, K2HA from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. As long as you eventually find the problem, as long as you eventually find the source of what's going wrong there, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Yeah, that is quite funny indeed. So, thank you very much there, Fred. And thank you for taking the time to come in here this evening with the TIN to make the comments there. Thank you very much, Fred. Anything further before I continue to ask for any check-ins or questions or comments? K2HA from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is Fred, K2HA. Okay, yeah. That comment you had about thinking about things logically
and going down a checklist, that's one of the things I do. And I don't panic. When you panic, things go out the window, and it's hard to solve anything. There are reasons things happen. And it's slowly coming to the place that you methodically go through one at a time to see, you know, like sometimes it's just you can buy a brand new length of coax and put it in line, but sometimes it's bad. that happened to us 2 years ago at Field Day. A brand new coax, and it just, we couldn't get a signal out. And at least the club couldn't. And finally we traced it down to the coax was bad. Okay. Thank you, Declan. Peace and blessings to you and everybody listening.
Thank you very much, Brad, from Two Whiskey Zero Killer Yankee Hotel. Panicking is always something that you really need to avoid because it can often make the situation worse than it is. If you panic, you start to overthink things, you start to look at everything in a more complex light than it may actually be. It's a bit like trying to untangle a cable and ending up getting even more tangled, if you will. That's what happens when you panic. So ultimately, just thinking it through, you know, maybe just taking a breather, just looking it through step by step, that's the best way always to get to the solution. And often it will be faster, even if it doesn't feel fast. Because often, obviously, in some more complex scenarios where maybe the where the issue, where the root cause of the issue is a lot more hidden and where you really need to sort of dig deep to find it, just working through methodically, just working through step by step by step can often help you get to a solution in the quickest possible way. But yeah, thank you very much, Fred. I greatly appreciate you checking in tonight, and thank you very much. So, before I move along to the next narrator, I would like to just once again see if we have any further check-ins, questions, or comments for this Thursday Information Net this evening before we move on to the next narrator. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Whiskey 4, Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Victor Hero 2, Delta Yankee.
Okay, Net Control recognizes Whiskey 4, Romeo Foxtrot Juliet, and Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee. So, W4RFJ, go ahead, from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Hey, Declan, and top of the evening to you. Make sure you give Admiral Sue a big hug. And this topic is real close to the heart here. Basically, my entire career in electronics has been wrapped around troubleshooting. And, you know, when you're on board ship out in the middle of the ocean, those skills are quite a necessity. One of the things that I just want to share this, you know, having skimmed over the document that I'll be helping read here in a second, the Navy has what they call a six-step troubleshooting method. And it is a checklist. And it almost follows what's in that picture that's at the top of the, or that's on the website about tonight's TIN. And very fascinating, and I think I can find the manual on the six-step troubleshooting. Maybe we can make it available on the website. I'll talk to Super Dave about that later on. Anyway, top of the evening to everybody on the net. This is W4RFJ. We've got thunderstorms overhead, so don't be surprised if we get zapped and knocked off the air. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. Back over to you there, Mini Chief, W4RFJ.
Okay, W4RFJ. Thank you very much there, Chief, from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Yeah, greatly appreciate it. Yeah, that's very interesting indeed. And it does just show, really, that troubleshooting is very methodical of a process where it is just sort of step-by-step sort of checklists. And there are likely many examples of sort of troubleshooting schemes, troubleshooting sort of methods that processes that you need to go through to find the solution to something that follow a sort of step-by-step process, that follow a checklist to narrow down possibilities of what the problem could be or what the answer to a certain question that you're trying to find the answer to is. And that just has many applications, not just in amateur radio, but in wider life as well. Thank you very much, Chief. Greatly appreciate it, and thank you very much for checking in. Okay, we'll move along to VK2DY. That is Robert there. Go ahead, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Yes, 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee in northwestern Sydney, where it's currently 12 degrees and Celsius and light rain. And that's probably what we're going to have for most of the day here is light rain. Anyway, yeah, very valuable tool, learning to troubleshoot. I remember when I was working in IT, I would have these lists of things that I would make for myself to check, in what order to check them, and how to approach a problem. It's how do you approach a problem? How do you isolate? How do you get to the point where the answer to the question is somewhere in reasonable a number of choices and not an infinite possibility there. And I think there's a temptation to say in the current days that we can just let the AI do it. You know, there's a ad on Facebook that they're talking, and this one woman says to the other woman, why did you name your variable celery lover 23? And she responds, my code has variables. So, you know, I think we need to understand how things work in order to be able to troubleshoot, in order to even ask an artificial intelligence how to solve it. You can once you have some way of understanding what's going on and limiting it down, you can ask the AI. But you can't ask the AI to just tell me what's wrong. That doesn't work. And so I think even today we need to develop, even more so today, we need to develop the skills of troubleshooting and understanding how to eliminate and how to get it down to a few possibilities. And that's a very, very good skill. Anyway, thank you, Declan. VK2DY, back to next.
Okay, VK2DY from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Yes, that is a very good point indeed there, talking about sort of AI reliance in society and how sort of by using troubleshooting methods you can sort of avoid having to turn to AI for all of your answers to all of the questions that you may have. Oftentimes it just takes a bit of logical thinking, just takes a bit of reasoning, just takes a bit of process, and you can get it done. And it is a lot better as well, because you'll feel sort of accomplished and you'll feel like that you're learning something, because you are figuring out hands-on how to solve the problem that you've encountered, rather than just typing in to the computer or asking an AI assistant sort of how to do this. You feel sort of more accomplished when you found that answer yourself, when you found that problem yourself, and you can sort of apply the solution that you found to other problems maybe that have similar sort of nature to the problem that you've solved. And maybe that sort of information will also stick a bit easier, which will mean that you won't have to keep coming back in every single individual instance to using AI once again to find it, because if you just keep on using AI, it's going to fall out of your head. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, okay. You just solve the problem, and it just completely falls out of your head because you don't need it, and you become a bit too reliant then in that instance. But, yeah, like I said, it's a lot better if you're working it out yourself, because it's a lot more likely to stick, because you're seeing the processes, you're working out how things map out, and it's a lot easier. So, yeah, thank you very much there, Robert. VK2DY from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Anything else to add? Okay, this is 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Nothing further heard from VK2DY. So, I think now we shall go ahead and proceed with the Thursday Information Net. And so the next narrator for tonight's program is Dave, Gulf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. And he is located here in Newport, South Wales. You may recognize his voice as you heard it at the start of the program. Why don't you take it away, Dave? Gulf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Okay, this is Gulf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Just swapped seats with young Declan there. Thank you very much, Declan, for doing the first part of the TIN for July 2026. And then we're going to continue with the tonight's program, and we have a look at a methodical approach from guesswork to good practice. Now, as we just heard, successful troubleshooting isn't about luck or possessing some mysterious gift that only experienced radio amateurs seem to have. It's about developing a logical way of thinking. The encouraging news is that anyone can learn it, like operating procedures, soldering, contesting, or learning Morse code. Troubleshooting is a skill that improves with practice. The more problems we solve, the better we come at recognizing patterns, asking the right questions, and, perhaps most importantly, avoiding the wrong conclusions. I'd like to begin this section with what I believe is the first and most important rule of troubleshooting, and that is, don't panic. It sounds almost too simple to mention, yet we've all done it. The radio doesn't behave as expected, and within seconds we're pushing buttons, changing menu settings, unplugging cables, moving connectors, and wondering why things seem to be getting even worse. The irony is that, in trying to solve the problem quickly, we've often created several new ones. Experienced operators learn to pause, take a breath, look, listen, and think. Only then do we begin investigating. Now that short pause can save an enormous amount of time. There is another golden rule that many engineers live by, and I think it's one of the most valuable lessons any amateur radio operator can learn, and that is never change more than one thing at a time. Imagine you've noticed that your transmitted audio doesn't sound quite right. You decide to adjust the microphone gain. While you're there, you switch on speech processing. Then you remember reading about equalizer settings, so you alter those as well. Finally, you reposition the microphone closer to your mouth, and your next transmission sounds much better. Wonderful! But what actually solved the problem? Was it the microphone gain, the speech processor, the equalizer, or the microphone position? Or was it a combination of several changes? The truth is, you no longer know. By changing everything at once, you've lost the evidence. Now imagine taking a different approach. Adjust one setting. Test it. Listen to the result. If necessary, move to the next adjustment. Before long, you know exactly what made the difference. That's not only better troubleshooting, it's better learning. One habit I've noticed among experienced operators is that they rarely assume anything. Instead, they verify. Suppose someone tells you that your transmitted signal is weak. The temptation is to assume the transmitter might have developed a fault. Perhaps it has. But perhaps your power supply isn't delivering its usual voltage or current. Perhaps the antenna connector has worked loose. Perhaps propagation has changed. Perhaps the other station maybe experienced interference. Perhaps the problem isn't at your end at all. Until we've gathered some evidence, every possibility remains exactly that, a possibility. Assumptions are comfortable. Evidence is reliable. Many years ago, I heard an engineer say something that has stayed with me ever since. He said, the simplest explanation is often the correct one. How many times have we imagined a serious equipment failure, only to discover that a switch had been knocked accidentally, or that we'd selected the wrong antenna, or that the microphone lead wasn't fully inserted, or perhaps most famously of all, that the power supply hadn't actually been switched on? Now, if we're honest, most of us have a story like that tucked away somewhere. It may have been frustrating at the time, but it probably raises a smile now. Those moments remind us that there's no embarrassment in overlooking something simple. The only mistake is overlooking it repeatedly, because we have never learned from the experience. One of the best habits you can develop is to start every investigation with the obvious. Is there power? Are all the cables connected securely? Have any settings changed? Has anything been moved since the station last worked? Has any new equipment recently been installed? Has the problem appeared suddenly, or has it developed gradually over time? Now, these may sound like basic questions, but they often reveal the answer surprisingly quickly. As Sherlock Holmes reminded us in the opening section, gathering facts before forming conclusions is never a wasted effort. Now, let's consider another common situation. You're calling through a local repeater that you've accessed successfully hundreds of times before. Today, however, nothing comes back. What's your first thought? Many people immediately suspect a repeater. Perhaps it's off the air. Perhaps there's a fault. Perhaps maintenance is taking place. Those are all reasonable possibilities. But before reaching that conclusion, why not ask a few simpler questions? Is your radio still transmitting? Have you accidentally selected low power? Is the correct CTCSS tone enabled? Are you on the right frequency and offset? Has the antenna connection became loose, or is the battery fully charged? Only after eliminating these possibilities does it make sense to look elsewhere. Good troubleshooting always begins what we can verify ourselves. Another trap that catches all of us from time to time is confirmation bias. Now, that may sound like a rather grand expression, but the idea is actually very simple. Once we convince ourselves that we found the cause of the fault, we begin interpreting everything as proof that we are right. Suppose we decide that a particular coaxial cable must be faulty. Every little clue suddenly seems to support that conclusion. In reality, the cable may be perfectly serviceable. The real problem could be the connector at one end, or perhaps the antenna itself. That's why experienced troubleshooters are always prepared to change their minds when new evidence appears. Changing your mind isn't admitting defeat. It's following the evidence. Another useful technique is to divide a problem into smaller pieces. Imagine your station as a chain. Power supply, radio, feed line, antenna, propagation, and then the receiving station. Somewhere along that chain, something isn't behaving as expected. Rather than looking at the entire station as one enormous mystery, break it down. Can the radio receive normally? Can it transmit into a W load? Does the antenna analyzer show anything unusual? Can another radio reproduce the same fault? By testing each link in the chain separately, the possibility becomes smaller and smaller until the cause often reveals itself. It's rather like solving a jigsaw puzzle, one piece at a time. Perhaps one of the greatest teachers in amateur radio is experience. Every fault you solve adds another page to your mental notebook. The next time something similar happens, you will recognize it far more quickly. That's one of the reasons experienced operators often appear calm. They're not necessarily more intelligent, they've simply seen problems before. Their confidence comes from experience, not guesswork. And remember, every experienced operator was once a beginner who puzzled over exactly the same kind of faults. I'd like to leave you with one final thought before we pause. Good troubleshooting isn't about proving how clever we are. It's about remaining curious. Every unexpected problem is an opportunity to learn something new about our equipment, our station, and perhaps ourselves. Sometimes the lesson is technical. Sometimes it's simply a reminder to check the obvious before imagining the complicated. Either way, every problem solved makes us better prepared for the next one. So before we hand over to our next raider, I'd like to leave you with a question. What's the simplest fault you've ever overlooked? Was it a disconnected cable, the wrong switch, a flat battery, or perhaps something so obvious that you still laugh about it today? And I'm sure many of us have one of those stories. I know I've got a few. And this seems like an ideal point to pause for any comments, questions, anybody's experiences before we continue with the third part of tonight's net. So anybody like to check in, got any questions or comments? Please call Net Control now.
Whiskey 4, Romeo, Fox, Juliet.
Yeah, KSF QB. I'll just mark myself as I'm listening along.
Okay, Net Control recognizes Chief W4RFJ and KC8FQV Mark. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else at the moment. Chief W4RFJ, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Dave. First of all, I want to thank you for an awesome job again on the script for tonight's TIN. And I just wanted to share a situation that I just recently had. And it's along the lines of troubleshooting. And, of course, Fred reminded me of it. I was trying to forget about it. But I just recently did some major troubleshooting. I couldn't figure out why my radio wasn't transmitting. And, well, let's just put it this way. I've got years and years and years of experience, and, you know, I did one of those clunk on the forehead. I could add a V8, and I found the problem was in a jumper, and eliminated the jumper, replaced it, and the problem went away. But just a reminder, you know, experience does have a lot to do with it, but it can also be a barb in the wire, so to speak. But anyway, just thought I'd share that. You know, it's one of those moments where you say, dadgummit, I could add a V8. Thanks, Dave. GW8SNL, W4RFJ.
W4RFJ from GW8SZR. You're all noted there, Chief, and I just hate intermittent problems because you think you fixed them and you actually haven't, and they might work for ages and ages and ages and then they come back again. So as you know, I've come across loads and loads of them over my lifetime. But no, intermittent problems is my bugbear. We get there in the end, but you move something on or you do something, you change something, and everything's working again until a little while later, and the same problem returns. And the whole thing about diagnosis is an experience you get to know. You know, sometimes you think, okay, here's the start, there's the finish, and you start at one end and you work back the other way and you find this at the beginning. Start at the beginning, you find this at the end. But with experience, you can actually pretty much get about the right area of that particular chain. And sometimes you get it wrong with that whole... I think that's part of the fun of troubleshooting, personally, myself. But there's not always a way you can actually pick the right point in the chain to start with. But you can take an educated guess. If it's wrong, okay, no problem at all. You just continue. But there we go. Do you have anything further to add there, Chief, before I go and say hello to Mark up there in Aurora, Ohio? W4RFJ, GW8SZO.
Well, as always, it's a great pleasure and honor to be able to chat with you. And I did find the book on the six-step troubleshooting. It's a Navy manual, actually, and that's what I learned from. And I'd be glad to share that. It's public domain, and maybe we can put it up on the website. You can let me know about that later. And top of the evening, everybody. Again, this is W4RFJ.
W4RFJ from GW8SNL. Yeah, sure we can. Let me get it over to me and I can pop it up on the website. No problems whatsoever. And not sure if you got it in PDF format or Word or whatever. Probably PDF, I would guess, but we don't know, especially if it's an older version of the manual. Just quickly there, Chief, is it in PDF format? Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, most of my documents are in PDF. It makes it easier to print.
Okay there, Chief, that would be absolutely perfect. You know, a lot of manuals and documents are in Word or even the earlier like RTF, rich text format, and anyway, I'm not going there. Anyway, thanks there, Chief, for popping in. Great to hear from you, and thanks for supporting Listman's TIN as well. Really do appreciate it. Okay, I'll clear with W4RFJ for now. Let's go and say hello to Mark, KC8FQV. I know you were just listening along, but I'm going to call you in there, Mark, and see if you've got any comments so far from GW8SZL. Okay, nothing heard from Mark. Casey at FQV. If you're listening there, Mark, have a great rest of your evening there as well. Probably talk to you tomorrow evening, my time anyway. late afternoon or the evening. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to check in, got any questions or comments on my part of the tonight's presentation? If so, please call now. Okay, here nobody else. This is GW8SZL. I'm going to pass it on to our next narrator, and that is Chief W4RFJ. It's all yours, Chief. Go ahead.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Real quick, how's my audio? I'm coming in via radio this time.
Sounding good to me there, Chief. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. This is W4RFJ. Experience, observation, and the value of patience. During the first two parts of tonight's Thursday Information Net, we've explored why troubleshooting is really a way of thinking. And we've looked at some of the practical techniques that help us solve problems logically. Now I'd like to talk about something that no book, no manual, and no YouTube video can ever fully provide. Experience. It's often said that experience is the best teacher. I think that's true. The only difficulty is that experience sometimes gives us the test before it teaches us the lesson. Every radio amateur has learned something the hard way. Sometimes we remember those lessons because they were expensive, sometimes because they were frustrating, and occasionally because, looking back, they were rather funny. The important thing is that we learnt from them. One of the great advantages of experience is that it helps us recognize patterns. Imagine that you've been operating HF for many years. One evening, you notice that signals seem weaker than usual. The temptation might be to suspect the fault with the receiver, but experience quietly whispers another possibility. What are the band conditions like today? Instead of immediately dismantling the station, you check the solar data. Perhaps there's been an increased geomagnetic activity. Perhaps the MUF, or maximum usable frequency, has changed. Perhaps propagation simply isn't what it was yesterday. Nothing in your station has failed at all. Nature has simply decided to remind us who's really in charge. That's one of the many reasons amateur radio never becomes boring. Even when our equipment performs perfectly, the atmosphere doesn't always cooperate. Another valuable habit is learning to observe trends rather than isolated events. Suppose your battery voltage seems slightly lower than usual. On its own, that might not seem particularly important. A week later, you notice that charging takes longer. A few days after that, operating time begins to reduce noticeably. Each observation taken individually seems significant. Together they tell a story. And experienced operators become surprisingly good at recognizing these quiet little warnings before they develop into major problems. It's rather like noticing that a familiar car engine no longer sounds quite the same. You may not know exactly what's changed, but experience tells you that something deserves attention. I think one of the most underrated skills in amateur radio is simply learning to listen. Not just listening to conversation on the air, but listening to your equipment. Every station has its own normal behavior. You become familiar with the background noise, the cooling fan, the relay clicks, the receiver audio, the tuning controls, even the feel of the switches. When something changes, however, slightly, experienced operators often notice immediately. The equipment is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Keeping records is another habit that often separates experienced troubleshooters from the rest of us. Now, I know that not everyone enjoys making notes. It's much more enjoyable to make contacts than to write things down. But simple notebook can become one of the most valuable tools in the shack. Imagine recording when you replaced a coaxial connector, when you resurfaced the power supply, when the antenna was last inspected, or perhaps noting unusual propagation conditions. Months later, when something unexpected happens, those notes may reveal a connection that memory alone would have missed. Memory is wonderful. Written records are even better. There's another lesson that many of us eventually discover. Not every problem needs to be solved immediately. Now that we may sound like strange advice during a talk about troubleshooting, but bear with me, sometimes frustration becomes part of the problem. We've all had evenings when nothing seems to go right. The more we adjust, the worse things appear to become. At moments like that, there is absolutely nothing wrong with switching everything off, making a cup of coffee, or returning tomorrow with a fresh mind. More faults have probably been solved over a mug of coffee than we might care to admit. Distance has a remarkable way of bringing clarity. Of course, one of the greatest resources available to every radio amateur isn't sitting on the operating desk. It's other radio amateurs. One of the things I've always admired about this hobby is the willingness of people to help. Someone else has probably experienced exactly the same problem. They may have solved it years ago. What took them 3 frustrating days to discover could save you three frustrating days of your own. There is no weakness in asking for advice. In fact, it's one of the fastest ways to gain experience. Every conversation becomes another lesson. Every shared story adds another tool to your own mental toolbox. Something else experience teaches is humility. No matter how many years we've held our license, no matter how impressive the station, no matter how much equipment we own, we're all capable of making wonderfully simple mistakes. Perhaps that's one of the reasons amateur radio remains such an enjoyable hobby. It has a gentle way of reminding us that we are all still learning. I suspect every one of us has confidently diagnosed a complicated fault, only to discover that the microphone wasn't plugged in properly. Those moments keep us grounded. They also make excellent stories at club meetings. There's a saying that I think fits amateur radio rather well. The person who never made a mistake never made anything. Experimentation has always been at the heart of our hobby. Trying new antennas, testing different operating techniques, exploring new digital modes, building equipment. Sometimes those experiences succeed brilliantly, sometimes they don't. Both outcomes teach us something. Failure isn't the opposite of learning. Quite often, failure is learning. As we begin drawing this section to a close, I'd like to return to something mentioned earlier. The greatest troubleshooting tool in your shack isn't a piece of equipment. It's your ability to observe, to remain patient, to remain curious, to notice small changes, to ask good questions, and to keep learning. Those qualities don't appear overnight. They grow steadily with every contact you make, every problem you solve, and every lesson you choose to remember. Experience isn't measured simply by the number of years we've held a license. It's measured by what those years have taught us. Before handing over to our final narrator this evening, I'd like to leave you with one more question. Looking back over your own amateur radio journey, what's the most valuable lesson that experience has taught you? perhaps it wasn't about electronics at all. Perhaps it was about patience, preparation, observation, or maybe it was simply learning never to overlook the obvious. Whatever this lesson may be, I'm sure many of our listeners would enjoy hearing it. I think the biggest lesson in life I've learned is not to make the Admiral angry at me. So let's pause once again for your comments, questions, and experiences before we move into concluding part of tonight's Thursday information net. And before I ask for check-ins, I want to say rule or step number one in the six-step troubleshooting is the ability to recognize that there's a problem, which fits this area quite well. All right, looking for any check-ins, any comments, please call W4RFJ.
W4RFJ, this is Fred, K2HA.
With Fred, we catch HJQ.
Okay, I got K2HA, and I heard an HJQ. Could you give me the full call, please? I didn't quite get it all. It was pretty fast.
Oh, far out. It's VK3HJQ. How are you going?
Ah, very good. Okay, well, let me pick up K2HA first. Fred, come on aboard, and welcome to the Thursday night information net.
Well, thank you, Chief. This is Fred, K2HA, the happy amateur here in Broomall, Pennsylvania, and say hello to John and Helen down there in Victoria Land. Interesting thing about ham radio, since that was licensed back in 1959, and I have seen changes upon changes upon changes, you don't have to rush out to buy the newest equipment. Be patient. That which is new today will be on the used market tomorrow at a discount or at a ham fest. Enjoy the equipment you have. Learn how to operate it. Knowing your transmitter and all the bells and whistles is very critical for making good timed contacts. And a lot of people just avoid reading the operating manual, whether it's in paper or online. Just be patient, and you'll be able to get all the equipment you want and have a great time at ham radio. Thank you, Chief. This is Fred, K2HA.
Okay, Fred. Well, give Admiral Colleen a big hug and a smooch from Charlotte and I, and thanks for joining us here this evening. We break with K2HA, and we pick up VK3HJQ. Good evening. Good morning, John, and greetings to your Admiral, Helen.
KR4LIV, break.
Oh, boy, new app out. Have a look. QSO1, that's QSO01E. Yeah, far out. You know how I like apps, Roger? Well, this one does All-Star now. So All-Star, Echo Link, DMR, so Brandmeister, TGIF, M17, IAX Direct, and YSF. All on your phone, on Windows and Android. iOS is coming, macOS is coming, and Linux is coming. So this, you don't need hardware anymore. You don't need to spend hundreds of dollars buying hardware. You can get on All-Star with an app. I don't believe it. I've been using it for about a week or so and spruiking it everywhere. Wow-wee. And currently it's free. It's under beta at the moment. So you can go to qso1.net and download it from there. So new app, QSO1. Anyway, thanks for letting me in. Not quite sure what the net's all about. I've just connected up. Just got out of bed, actually. Thanks, Roger, for letting me in. VK3HJQ.
KR4LRV, break, please.
KR4LRV, do you have an emergency?
KR4LIV, I was just curious as to what this information net is, and I would like to join with your permission, please. Over.
Okay, well, we'll be glad to have you join us here. Give us just a second, and we'll give you an explanation. John, thank you for the information. Yeah, I've been finding out some neat stuff that's been happening here lately. It sure does confuse things, but it makes things easier, too. Anything else to add, John, before we move on?
Oh, boy, caught me with a mouthful of porridge. Anyway, Helen's just got me some porridge with apples in it this morning, so there you go. Anyway, I hope everybody's well. Sorry I haven't been around for a while. I've been really busy doing stuff. You know, we're getting in the road of amateur radio. You know how it is, Roger. Righto, thanks for letting me in. 730, VicArthurHJQ, back to net.
Okay, very good, John. Well, thank you for checking in. It's been a long time, and it's good to hear your voice. All right, so KR4LRV, this is Whiskey 4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. I'm one of the narrators. And this conference, the SCARS conference, is a VOIP version of the South Cars amateur radio service on 7251. They're not the same organization. But anyway, long story short story longer, this is what we call the Thursday Information Net. And one of our main net manager drafted up the script. And we're talking about troubleshooting and amateur radio. So why don't you give your call sign again and tell us what your name is, where you are, and if you have anything you'd like to add, now would be the time.
Thank you. My name is Chris. I am located in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. And to clarify, my call sign is Kilo Romeo 4, Lima India Victor, KR4LIV. I believe you had it as an R. Over, and thank you for allowing me to join.
Okay, Chris. Sorry about boogering up your call sign. Kilo Romeo 4, Lima, India Victor. Chris in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm down here in near Rainbow Springs, Florida, about halfway between Ocala and Cedar Key, right on the edge of the Gophi Forest. And this net happens every third Thursday of the month. If we have a topic, it's getting tight on that one, but I'm impressed with Dave's ability to come up with stuff that's really informative. Anyway, we have a Saturday morning net at 8 a.m. Eastern. We have a South Car Saturday Intercontinental net on Saturday at noon Eastern, and then tonight and to, not tonight, Saturday and Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, we have a rag chew that is a pretty entertaining period of time on this conference. So, hey, make yourself at home. You can get on our website. That's SCARS VOIP. That's Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar India Papa. .com, and you can join there and get your own ID number or ticket number, and it's a lifetime membership, and it follows my motto of free or cheaper. How's that, Chris?
Well, that's a beautiful thing. If you'll go a little slower with that website, I'm going to jump on it right now with your permission, sir. Over.
Okay, the website is SCARS VOIP. I spell Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar India Papa .com. Over.
That is confirmed, and thank you very much. Oh, that's a beautiful website. I plan on joining. I am new. I just got my ticket, my tech ticket, April the 11th of this year. My birthday is Monday the 20th, and I'm going to take my general then. So that's my schedule. And again, thank you all for letting me join your rag queue tonight or your tech session. Your information section, or whatever you refer to it, and I look forward to joining you gentlemen again in the near future. Over.
Okay, Chris. Well, yeah, come on aboard. Join us on our nets on the weekend, and we'll look forward to you signing up. With that, I think we should probably get things rolling here. I've got my relief on this, his part of the of the script, Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Foxtrot, alien life form. Greg, are you there?
K5ALF. Excuse me, Whiskey 4, Romeo Juliet. Yes, I am, Chief. I sure am. Hey, I didn't catch his call sign. I was going to get his information, get entered in the night, but all I caught was I didn't catch the last part. I have KR4LRV, but he said it's not an R. What was the last part?
Yeah, that's Chris. Kilo Romeo 4, Lima, India, Victor. Lima, India, Victor. QSL?
Do you know? Copy that. Thank you. After I get done with this, I'll go on the website and assign him a number and get him signed up. All right. Let me start my part here. The bigger picture, the lessons that stay with us. As we've listened to tonight's Thursday Information Net, we've talked about curiosity, observation, patience, and experience. On the surface, we've been discussing troubleshooting, but I suspect we've really been talking about something much bigger. We've been talking about the character of the amateur radio operator, because when you think about it, amateur radio has never simply been about radios. If it were, we could all buy exactly the same equipment, connect exactly the same antenna, press exactly the same buttons, and achieve exactly the same results. But that isn't our hobby. Our hobby is built upon experimentation, learning, curiosity, and perhaps, above all, problem solving. Every contact we make teaches us something. Every antenna we build teaches something. Every contest, every portable activation, every emergency communication exercise, every equipment failure, and every unexpected success, they all become part of our education as radio amateurs. Sometimes we even don't even realize we're learning, yet year after year, these experiences quietly shape the way we think. I sometimes wonder whether experienced radio amateurs begin seeing the world slightly differently, not because we know more than other people, but because we've become accustomed to asking questions. Why has something changed? What evidence do we have? Can we prove it? What have we overlooked? Those are valuable questions in almost every aspect of life. It's one of the hidden benefits of amateur radio that never appears in license manuals or operating guides. The hobby teaches us to think carefully before jumping to conclusions. There's another quality that deserves recognition this evening, and that is persistence. Most worthwhile achievements in amateur radio didn't happen instantly. Learning Morse code, building an antenna, understanding propagation, making that elusive DX contact, constructing a kit, operating a new digital mode, they all require patience. Troubleshooting is no different. Very few faults surrender immediately. Some require determination. Others require us to walk away for a while before returning with a fresh eyes, and occasionally they require us to admit that we need another opinion. There is absolutely no shame in that. In fact, recognizing when to ask for help is often a sign of wisdom rather than weakness. One of the things I've always admired about amateur radio is that knowledge is rarely kept secret. Visit almost any radio club. Join almost any net. Attend almost any ham fest. Sooner or later, you'll find someone happily sharing advice, drawing a diagram on the back of an envelope, or explaining how they solved exactly the same problem many years ago. That willingness to help is one of the great strengths of our hobby. Long before the Internet made information instantly available, radio amateurs were helping one another to learn. That tradition continues today, and I sincerely hope it always will. There's a phrase often heard in engineering. The solution should be as simple as the problem allows. I rather like that idea. Not very difficult, it requires sophisticated equipment. Sometimes the answer really is as simple as tightening the connector, replacing the fuse, cleaning the contact, checking the setting, or reading the manual a little more carefully. There's an old saying that if all else fails, read the instructions. Most of us smile because we've all left that, felt that feeling. As our experience grows, something rather interesting begins to happen. We stop fearing problems. Instead, we become intrigued by them. A newcomer may see a fault as a disaster. An experienced operator often sees it as a puzzle. There's an enormous difference between those two ways of thinking. One creates frustration, and the other creates curiosity. Curiosity is one of the most valuable qualities any radio amateur can possess. It's the reason people build antennas simply to see what happens. It's the reason people experiment with new modes. It's the reason people continue learning after decades in the hobby. Curiosity keeps amateur radio alive. If there's one message I'd like everyone listening tonight to remember, it's this. Don't measure your progress as a radio amateur simply by the equipment you own. Measure it by the questions you ask, by the mistakes you've learned from, and by the willingness to help someone else, by the patience you've developed, and by the confidence you've gained through solving one problem after another. Those are the achievements that really matter, because equipment changes, technology moves forward, new radios appear, and new modes are invented. But the ability to think logically, observe carefully, and remain patient never goes out of date. Troubleshooting is an art because no two situations are ever exactly alike. Every problem is asked us to observe, to think, to question, to learn. In many ways, troubleshooting represents everything that amateur radio has always stood for. Experimentation, education, self-training, international friendship, and the simple satisfaction that comes from discovering the answer for yourself. As we come to an end of tonight's Thursday information, then, I'd like to leave you with one final thought. The next time something in your radio shack refuses to work, don't see it as an interruption. Don't see it as bad luck. Instead, see it as your next lesson, because every fault has a cause. Every cause can be discovered, and every solution leaves you knowing just a little more than you did before. After all, the greatest troubleshooting tool you will ever own isn't sitting on your workbench. It isn't your multimeter. It isn't your antenna analyzer. It isn't your oscilloscope. It isn't even your radio. It's the curious, patient, and determined mind of the operator sitting in front of it. And if tonight's discussion encourages even one of us to pause, observe, think a little more carefully, and perhaps help another amateur solve their next problem, then this evening's Thursday Information Net will have achieved exactly what it set off to do. Thank you all for listening. I will now pause for one final time for your comments, questions, and observations before bringing this evening's net to a close.
KR4LIV, may I speak, please?
KE5AOF, the KR4LIV. Go ahead, sir. The microphone is yours.
What little, thank you, by the way, what little I have heard, I am sure I have landed in the right place. I have submitted that email for you guys' consideration for me as a member. I would appreciate it. I look forward to joining this group again in the future. And from what I have heard over the last 5 minutes, I'm in the right place with a new group of friends. And I thank you very much. Ham Radio has opened up my world for me. I wish I would have done this years ago. I'll be 69 years old on Monday if God lets me live. And I wish I would have done this when I was in my 20s, if not before. And once again, I have landed in the right place purely by accident, but maybe it was meant to be. Thank you for your time. KR4LIV, back to the group.
KE5ALF to KR4LIV. Well, thank you for those words of wisdom. That just proved their point that that this net tonight did what it's supposed to do. And we welcome you aboard. And like I said, I am the data manager. I am the one who will enter your information into our system and get you a SCARS number and get you signed up, sir. And as soon as I get done with this, I'm going to go over there and get that done for you, sir. So you'll be a member here shortly. Thank you again for checking in. Is there anybody else out there that would like to have any further questions or comments before we close this evening? If so, the microphone is yours.
Whiskey 4, Romeo, Fox, Juliet.
Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. Sounder from India. But check it.
All right. I got two. W4RFJ, Chief, and VU2, MDA, from India, I think, if I remember right, his name is Mike. This is Greg, KE5ALF, and Chief, it's all yours, sir.
Well, thanks, Greg. And Chris, we got your email, so Greg will be able to get hot on that. And congratulations on your new ticket. Good luck on your upgrade, and happy birthday. And with that, the last thing I'd like to say is I sent the book to GW8SZL, so check your email, and if you didn't get it, shoot me a text. Anyway, that's about it. Wonderful TIN this evening, W4RFJ.
KE5ALF to W4RFJ. Thank you for checking in, Chief. I appreciate it. And thank you for working on the net. Appreciate that. Okay, I need VU2, MGA, over there in India. The microphone is all yours, sir.
Hi, good evening all. Good evening, Mr. Greg. Today's net control on SCAS digital platform on Echolink. Thank you very much, sir, for recognizing me and letting me in for regular check-in. All of you coming here as usual, sir, fine and blasting, thundering like local station in my native city, Undipudur, Coimbatore, South India. Coimbatore, South India, all going good here. Indian Standard Time around 5:50. Friday morning 5:50 in India, breezy morning, 77 degree Foxtrot right now, the temperature reads. Breezy, cool and comfortable, no rain. As far as forecast is concerned, we are getting much rains this week or later on. That is the WX condition here. During day times around 12 noon to 3 p.m., almost we are experiencing 100 plus degrees, almost off boiling here in India. Hopefully a wonderful Friday. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity for having this enjoyable QSO net check-in on this SCAS digital platform. Regularly, Mr. Fred K2HA will taking the nets on this SCAS. Convey my regards to him also, sir. Nothing much particular in my side due to my speedy walking. As usual, regularly I am starting my walking session 5:15 Indian Standard Time. It will go 6 to 6:15 regularly. After that, I am doing some breathing exercises like pranayam, bhastriya and swat kriya. Then finally, after finishing my yoga session, going to prepare a Lipton tea along with clove, ginger and mint for all of us. I welcome all of you to have a cup of tea in my kitchen at Coimbatore from USA. Welcome, sir. Nothing much particular in my side. Don't like to hold you too long. With your kind permission, I would like to say my 73 stone and all there. Mic back to Mr. Greg, today's net controller on SCAS digital platform. This is Victor United 2, Mike Delta Alpha, Sounder from India, standing by.
KE5ALF to Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. Appreciate you checking in, sir. And especially, you said 5. Is that 5 o'clock in the morning? So technically it's Friday for you, correct, I think? All right, I guess he's gone already. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask one further time if there's any check-ins or questions or comments before I close it for the evening. If you are there, the microphone is yours.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. This is Fred, K2HA.
KE5ALF to K2HA. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, I just wanted to say that it was a very interesting presentation tonight. I want to thank all the narrators, and I just want to echo that ham radio is advancing so fast, together with the digital modes and the RF being on the bands. It's just so many opportunities, and it's such a fun hobby. Yeah, don't panic when something goes wrong. figure it out, and if you can't figure it out, call another ham or call your club or whatever, and you'll figure it out. Okay, thank you very much, and thank Dave over there in Newport, South Wales, GW8SL, for making sure everything runs like this and the script. Peace and blessings. This is Fred, K2HA.
KE5ALS to K2HA. Good evening, Fred, and thank you for checking in. I appreciate it. I see you keep posting here for Chief to call you. I think he said it was on his mobile, so he might not see that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, he probably is. And I just wanted to chat with the chief on a landline or the cell phone. Okay, thanks for mentioning that, Greg. This is Fred, K2HA.
No problem, sir. It's KE5ALF for the SCARS, Thursday Information Night Net. And please, if you have any suggestions for a topic for our Thursday Information Net, please email us at VOIP at SCARS, VOIP.com. That's VOIP. At SCARS, SCARS VOIP.com. This has been SCARS VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website at the SCARS VOIP.com. This is Greg, KE5ALF, saying good night to one and all and returning the service back to normal use.